In case you're wondering why the change in setup, it's not a new look for LGC, it's a new look for me. My back went out last week and it's much more comfortable for me to be sitting than it is for me to be standing. So if I were to stand, I'd probably be making faces at you all the time and trying to like wiggle around, trying to find a comfortable position. So for today, we're gonna try, feels like story time, but I feel like I should have someone here to talk with. So that's why it looks like this today. And if I start making funny faces, most of them should probably be because of the pain, not because of anything else. So, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are here working, that you are here in our midst, always at work in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us here. As we jump into the Samson story, that you would speak through the Samson story, speak to us of how good you are in the midst of all that goes on, of how faithful you are. And would you remind us, Lord, that that faithfulness extends to us as well. So we thank you for this time, and Lord, we ask that you would speak in me and through me and into all of our lives here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are again, back to Samson. Back to the guy who could have had it all. The guy who had been set apart by God to lead God's people out of oppression from the Philistines. If you remember back to chapter 13, an angel of the Lord appeared to Samson's mother because Samson was to be set apart. She wasn't supposed to drink any alcohol. She wasn't supposed to eat anything unclean. And she was never to cut his hair because he was supposed to be a Nazarite, set apart for God. But along the way, Samson lost his way. We saw a couple of weeks ago how he was driven by his senses, lusting after women with his eyes, and how he had all but given up his Nazarite vows, how he had engaged in drinking parties, how he had touched unclean, dead animals, how instead of leading the Israelites away from the Philistines, how he would run to join them, and how he had basically turned away from God's call in his life to pursue his own personal desires. And after years of willful disobedience, we read what is probably the second saddest verse in the Bible. Judges 16:20 says, "Then she called, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He awoke from his sleep and thought, 'I'll go out as before and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him." This is the guy who was set apart for God from even before he was born. And yet we're told, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. Is there anything worse than the Lord leaving? Isn't that what they say hell will be? Eternity without God? Samson has hit rock bottom. His years of chasing Philistine women, from his wife in Timnah to the prostitute at the beginning of chapter 16, and finally to Delilah. His years of not seeking God's will, but only seeking to fulfill his own fleshly desires, have all come to a head. His head now bald, a head that had never been touched by a razor for probably close to 40 years. Now gone, bald, while he slept. Betrayed by a woman that we're told he loved. Chapter 16, verse 4 says, "Sometime later he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." We're never told in chapter 14 that he loved his wife, the Timnite woman. Yet here we are told that he loved Delilah. And she's the one who betrays him. Betrays him for money. Yes, a lot of money, but still, just money. Obviously, she loved money more than she loved Samson. And bound up in bronze shackles. And there's nothing he can do about it. Sure, he'd been bound up before. In chapter 15, when the Philistines came, he let the Israelites bind him up and hand him over to his enemies. But then he wasn't helpless. Now he's helpless. There's nothing he can do, bound up. His eyes gouged out. Remember, it was his eyes that drove him. He saw that Timnite woman and thought that she was hot, that she was good on his eyes, and told his parents that he wanted to marry her. He didn't care that she was a Philistine. He only cared about how she looked. He was driven by his desires, by his eyes, and now those very eyes gouged out, and he's unable to see and stripped of everything that he had clung to. And the worst part, whether he realized it or not, is the fact that the Lord had left him. I said second worst verse in the Bible because only verse I can think of that is worse is when Jesus, hanging on the cross, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? What could possibly be worse than being abandoned by the Lord? The irony of all of this is crazy. Remember, Samson was supposed to lead the Israelites against the Philistines. But Samson was more interested in hanging out with them, partying with them, marrying among them, than he was in leading the Israelites away from them. Yet in the end, the people that he wanted so badly to be a part of, the people that he wanted to hang out with and marry into, are the ones who've gouged out his eyes, locked him up like a criminal, and bring him out to parade around as a show monkey. He's abandoned, alone and helpless. The Israelites that he's supposed to lead are nowhere to be found. The woman that he loved has betrayed him and has run off with the money that she's got. The people he wanted to join are the only ones around, but they haven't included him. They haven't let him join. They've made him their prisoner, bound and shackled with no eyes, bald, dancing around for their entertainment. Chapter 16, 25 says, while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison and he performed for them. He who wanted so badly to be with the Philistines, and this is how they treat him. They don't even let him stay in jail peacefully. They want him to come out so that they can mock him, so they can laugh at him, so that he can entertain them like an animal would entertain them. I'm sure there are some who read this and feel sorry for Samson. But just as I'm sure there are some who read this and think, Samson got what he deserved. He was chosen by God, but instead of following God and doing what God wanted him to do, he did what he wanted. He pursued his physical desires, and look what that got him. But fortunately for Samson, his story didn't end there. In fact, the writer of Judges wanted to make sure that the readers knew that the story doesn't end there for Samson. That's why we're told in verse 22, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. In spite of all that Samson had done wrong, in spite of the fact that God had left Samson, it's still God who gives hope. Samson is bald. His head that had grown hair for probably close to 40 years, completely shaved. Yet the hair starts to grow back. We don't know how long his head was bald for. We don't know how long it was shaved. But verse 21 tells us that Samson was taken to Gaza from the valley of Sorek in shackles. So it must have been some time, not just a couple of days, but some time that he was bald. Yet all is still not lost, because Samson's hair has already started to grow back. Not because it naturally grows back, but that's the writer of Judges' way of saying God is still at work. Even though Samson gave up on his purpose for God, God is still at work and Samson's hair is starting to grow back. I know some of you are thinking, but hair grows back. It's not that big a deal. Trust me, it doesn't always grow back. Seriously, it doesn't always grow back. So the fact that the writer of Judges says his hair is starting to grow back, he's telling us that God is still at work. God is still doing something in spite of everything that Samson has done wrong. God is still doing something in there. That's how amazing God is. For all the ways that Samson failed God, God's still willing to work with him. God's still willing to use him for his glory. He's willing to forgive him and use him for his glory. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. If a screw-up like Samson can still find favor in God's eyes, can still be used by God for God's purposes, I think a screw-up like me can be used by God as well. And that gives me hope. It gives me hope that I don't have to be perfect. It gives me hope that I don't have to do everything right. Hopefully, I don't go out and do what Samson does and do everything wrong. But it gives me hope that I don't have to be perfect. Because in spite of all that Samson did wrong, God's still there. The hair on Samson's head starts to grow back. And in spite of all that Samson had done wrong, he finally did something not too bad. For the second time in the Samson story, Samson cries out to the Lord. If you remember at the end of chapter 15, Samson, after killing a bunch of Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, cried out to God because he was thirsty. And if you remember, after God answered Samson's prayer and made water come out from the ground, instead of praising God, Samson decided to name the place after himself, calling it En Hakor, which means the spring of him who called. So the first time Samson cries out, he gets what he's asking for and then pats himself on the back, naming the place the spring that I called for. This is the second time Samson cries out. Would it be any better? Verse 28 says, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.'" At least he called out to the Lord. In fact, this is the first time Samson called the God of Israel Lord. He calls him Yahweh. The first time Samson called out, Samson says "you" to God. But this time he calls him Yahweh. So he starts out well. So he's not just calling to him as a generic God. He's calling him God, Lord, the God of Israel. It starts well. But if we look at the rest of the prayer, it's not really the best prayer. Samson prays, "Please remember who? Me." Not, "Please let the people remember you," but, "Please remember me." As if it was God who had forgotten about Samson. Samson was the one constantly forgetting about God, yet Samson prays as if God is the one who's been forgetting about Samson. And he's calling on God to remember him. And then says, "Please strengthen me." Only this once. As if God wasn't the one who had been strengthening Samson all along. As if it was Samson who was responsible for his strengths of feet all along, and he's crying out because he just needs help one time. He doesn't realize that it was God all along with him. It was the Lord who was the source of Samson's strength. Yet Samson still didn't realize that. He doesn't understand that. And so praying, he says to the Lord, "Strengthen me one time. And to top it all off, the icing on the cake, the reason Samson wants God to remember him and strengthen him, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. So Samson could get vengeance for losing his eyes. There's no talk of so that God can be glorified, so that God will be exalted among the Israelites, or so that God will be feared among the Philistines, so that I may be avenged for my two eyes. Samson wants God to remember him and give him strength so that he can get revenge on them for taking out his eyes. There's no mention of restoring God. There's no restoring God's honor or restoring God's name among the Israelites or among the Philistines. Samson just wants revenge for himself. There's no praising God for what God had done for him so far. Samson's motivation is pure vengeance. If we take a step back and compare Samson's prayer with the prayers of the Philistines earlier in the chapter, it's kind of shocking. Verse 23-24 tells us about the Philistines' prayer. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." See, the Philistines, when they capture Samson, thank their God. They thank their God because they think it was their God who's responsible for delivering Samson into their hands. A nation of pagans who are leading the Israelites away from the one true God are actually thanking their God for what's happened. Not once does Samson praise the one true living God. Not for any of his victories, not for any of the blessings he has. Samson constantly pats himself on the back. He pats himself on the back for killing all the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And now the Philistines, the ones who mock the one true living God, are praising their God, recognizing or thinking that their God did something to bring Samson into their hands. Yet Samson, not once does he recognize that it was God who brought the Philistines into his hands. Even to his last prayer, on so many levels, Samson failed the Lord. He was supposed to be the chosen one for the living God, but time and time again, his decisions and choices, the decisions and the choices he makes are based on what he sees and what he wants for himself rather than what God wants. With a guy like that, is it any wonder that God left him after he showed that he loved Delilah more than he loved the living God? Samson, look at him. He's a shell of himself, paraded around in front of the Philistines so that they could mock him and laugh at him. Bald, eyes gouged out. Guy driven by his eyes, no longer has his eyes. A guy driven by women is left betrayed by the women, the one woman that he loved. All of it, everything he worked for, gone. But the only one not gone is the Lord. Even though the Lord had left Samson in verse 22, God doesn't totally forsake him. Verse 22 hints at the fact that he has not totally forsaken him. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. So you might be sitting there thinking, this is like, what is the point of Samson's story? Samson screwed everything up. Samson's not a very good example to us. And I agree. He's not. He messed up in so many ways. He's not a very good example of following Jesus, of following God. But if you remember what I said when I first started preaching on Samson, Judges isn't really about the judges. It's not about the people. It's about God. It's about God's faithfulness to his people. And that's what the Samson story is about. It's not about a man who is miraculously strong, who could do all these things. It's about a man who, in spite of the fact that he was set aside for God and in spite of the fact that he screwed up over and over and over again, that God still was there with him to the end. It's about the fact that God is faithful, that God does not depart his people completely, that God does not forsake them, even though he had every right to. In spite of everything that Samson did, God was justified in so many ways to completely leave him behind and leave the Israelites behind. Yet he doesn't. And so in the end, God uses, Samson prays for strength, and God gives him that strength. Samson doesn't knock down the pillars by himself, by his own strength. He knocks down those pillars because God has given him the strength that he has asked for, and because God has not completely forsaken him. And when I think about Samson, I see the people that Samson put his faith and his trust in. And in the end, all of them fail him. All of them leave him. And the only one that's still there is the living God. And I think about how often we put our faith in people. How often we put our faith in those around us. Family, friends, leaders. And how often those people have failed us. Samson put his faith in himself. And look at where that got him. The only one that he should have put faith in was the one he didn't. And that was the living God. And it forces me to think, maybe we put too much faith in ourselves, in what we can do. Maybe we put too much faith in people around us. Family, friends, leaders. And maybe instead of putting faith in people like Samson did, instead of putting faith in ourselves like Samson did, maybe we need to put our faith in the living God. Trust that He's at work in us. Trust that He's the one who is at work, that He is the only one who will not fail us or turn His back on us. Maybe we need to stop putting people up on pedestals, celebrities, family, people around us. And instead, maybe we need to give God the space that He rightfully deserves. Put Him up on that pedestal. Cling to Him. Maybe we need to stop being like Samson. I know it's easy for us to sit here and think, it's easy for me to sit here and think, wow, Samson's an idiot. But then if I'm honest with myself, how many times have I been just as stupid as Samson? And think, maybe I need to stop putting faith in myself, faith in people, faith in things that I can see and hold on to. And instead put my faith and trust in the one living God. Even though I can't see Him, even though I can't hold on to Him, even though sometimes I wonder what He's doing and why He lets things happen the way they happen. Maybe I need to stop clinging to the things that I can grasp and start clinging to the only one who will remain faithful. I think that if Samson had clung to God, he would have been rewarded in so many more ways. Chapter 16, verse 30 says, "Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived." I don't think that's a vindication of Samson's life. I think that's a commentary on how bad Samson's life was. That his death did more for God than his life did for God. I don't know about you, but I hope my death doesn't do more for God than my life does. I would hope that my life brings more glory and honor to God than my death does. Because if my death does, that would be a scary life that I'd had. Maybe Samson's life is the call for us, a reminder to us to stop putting our faith in things and in people and to put our faith in the living God, the one true living God, the only one who won't leave us or forsake us or fail us. Let us pray. Lord, I know it's easy to look at Samson and say, wow, what a screw up. Wow, what an idiot. He fell for the same trick so many times. But then I think about myself and I wonder, am I really that much better than Samson? How many times do I fall to the same temptations? How many times do I fall to the same triggers that frustrate me and upset me? And I wonder, am I really any better than Samson? But then I'm reminded it's not about what I can do or about how good I am. It's about how good and how gracious you are. That in spite of all that Samson did, you still stuck with him and used him. And in spite of all that, all the ways that we fail you, all the ways that we stop, all the ways that we don't bring you glory and honor, that you are still faithful to us, that you still call us beloved, that while we were still sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. So Lord, help us to stop clinging to the things of this world. Help us to stop clinging to ourselves and to others, but to cling to you, the only one who we should be clinging to. Help us to cling to you in the midst of everything. Help us to stop praising ourselves and praising others, but help us to praise you for all that goes on around us, for the good in our lives. Help us to cling to you in the bad that goes on in our lives around us. And help us to bring glory and honor to you in all that we do, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.